Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on His Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of Fork Broadcasting or WSIP Radio, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Was that my cue to do my Bill Barker impersonation?
You were going to do it anyway.
You remember when Bill was on there, he'd take that sip of coffee and, it was great stuff. It's great stuff this morning. Good morning, Timotheus.
Good morning, brother.
How are you today?
I am doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm up for the entire day if I don't fall down.
Yeah, and if you do, and if I'm around, I'll pick you up.
I would like to hope so. Sure would. There's got to be some folks that have Bible issues and Bible questions today.
Or maybe life issues and life questions they're seeking from the Bible.
I wish I'd said it that way.
Okay. I'm just saying. I can relate to that, by the way.
So if there are those out there, in either case, how would they, as far as this program is concerned, how would they contact us?
They could give us a call at 789-0318, 789-0318, or they could also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com.
You ever have one of those sneezes coming on when you're live on air?
Yeah. And I did that, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And I thought it was gone. And the mic was on and just everywhere.
So you thought actually you had muted the mic and no one would.
Well,
hear
I
it.
Thought the sneeze was gone,
sneeze
but
was
it
gone.
Snuck in. You ever had one of those?
Oh my!
It caught you off guard.
About to now.
Yeah. So, if you do, you're forgiven.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Well, what's on your mind this morning, Timotheus? I've got several things on my mind, but I always like to find out what's on your mind.
I'm looking forward to vacation.
Oh, really? All right.
It's going to be a hectic week, so I'm thinking if I can get through this week and next week.
Where are you going?
I'm hoping to go down to around Pigeon Forge.
All right.
Favorite place of mine to go. So.
Yeah, I love Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Better than Gatlinburg. Better than Gatlinburg as far as housing is concerned.
Oh, well, I take my own housing, so.
That's exactly right. You have a camper.
I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, those of us who are less fortunate, or maybe more fortunate than others, not to have to be bothered with that. But anyway, the wife and I, we just said recently, we said, you know, we ought to go, take a little trip this summer. We ought to go down to Pigeon Forge. That's where we ought to stay.
Yeah.
And if we want to go over to Gatlinburg, that's fine. But I love that part of the area, and I've not been there. When were the fires? Last year. Last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told it's bounced back just as good as ever, or better than ever.
So I think so,
looking forward to that. 789-0318 or godspointofview@yahoo.com.
There you go.
Have no emails currently. Did get a question last night, Timotheus.
Oh.
You know, we were talking last night about the prodigal son.
Yes.
And we know that story, most of us do.
Luke chapter 15.
And had a couple comments, interesting comments at the door last night in Jerry's line.
Was it about your hand over your eyebrow?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I pretty well explained that to where I wouldn't get a question about that. One of them was, how do you recognize a Pharisee?
Oh.
Yeah, because because at the very beginning, and I think we overlook this, and because I did for a long time, I was focused on the prodigal and about all the meaning we could get from that.
Yeah.
But we overlooked the first two verses of Luke 15. You see, the context is so vital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Received a text message recently from a brother who works with a fellow who doesn't believe in God. He wants to criticize the Bible. And so what he did was just pick various verses that seemed to contradict one another.
Just pulling them out.
Yeah.
Thin air kind of thing.
And, and so when you look at the context, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And so I texted the brother back and I said, tell your friend that when he is making these claims about the Bible, that he really needs to study the Bible. And secondly, he needs to consider who's talking, who he's talking to, and what he's talking about. And thirdly, you need to remind him that when you take a text out of its context, all you have left is a
con.
That's right. And so, a lot of folks do that, you know, with respect to things like murder and killing and let's say the Bible is full of that. Well, you know, come on, let's get the context down right before we start accusing God. And I know God doesn't need me to defend him, but I am here to present the gospel.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a defense. But anyway,
back to the question.
Question was, how will I recognize a Pharisee? Maybe we ought to set this up by looking at the context.
good place to be.
You see, in Luke 15, Timotheus.
Yes.
And I know you'll remember this because you just heard it last night.
I did.
There are three stories here. The first one's about a lost sheep.
Yes.
Second one's about a lost coin.
Yes.
And the third one is about a lost boy.
Yeah.
And so the Bible tells us, and Jesus is using these stories, because without a parable spake he not unto them. He's using these parables to try to win souls.
Mm.
Now look at the folks that are in the midst. Luke 15, verse 1. Now, the tax collectors,
yes.
Who were they?
They were Roman tax collectors.
Don't say Dip Stafford.
No, it wasn't Dip Stafford. Their job was to go out and collect taxes.
Yeah.
They were Romans, of course. And they could, and I'll use your analogy last night, that if the, let's say that I owed $100, you're a tax collector, you would come and say, I need $150 from you.
Absolutely.
Timotheus,
absolutely.
And you'd pocket 50, and so they were.
Every time.
They were a despicable, hated person.
They were.
I mean, people did not think anything of them.
Oh.
They
thought worse of them because they were Jews.
Yeah.
And they forsook their own countrymen to work for the Romans.
Yes.
I mean, who would have ever thought of anything like that? So they were worse than the Gentiles, because the Gentile was just a Gentile. He didn't pretend to be anything else.
Yeah.
And they were worse than the Samaritans, who couldn't help that they were half-breeds.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jew could do better. He didn't have to work for the Roman government. He was a sellout.
Well, it sounds to me like he was just selling out for his own personal gain.
He was. He was a Benedict Arnold.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
So, tax gatherers collectors. Or collectors. Mm-hmm. By the way, Dip is an assessor, not a collector. Amen. So, hello,
true.
Dip. Anyway.
The sheriff collects.
Yeah. So the tax collectors and sinners. Now, you're just wondering when you were going to be mentioned.
I appreciate that, brother.
Sinners. And me too. I'm right in there with you.
I was going to say.
Tax collectors and sinners. These were the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
They were the baddest of the bad.
Yeah. The bottom of the barrel.
Bottom of the barrel. Debauchery.
Mm.
So, they were all gathered to hear him, but.
Uh-oh.
The Pharisees. Why do you on me?
Well, because you said but.
There you go. But. Whenever you see a but, it's really, there's going to be a change.
Yes.
But the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, part of the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the teachers, teachers of the law, muttered. One translation says they grumbled. These were the Pharisees and the scribes, those who literally interpreted the law. And
did they talk about God?
Oh, they did.
Like
they
this?
Every time they did, they went into their holy wine.
Holy wine.
Yeah, the holy wine.
I've never heard of that.
The holy wine mode. And
okay.
So they were there. So Jesus tells a story, and he says this, here's what they said about Jesus. This man, This man.
Yeah, not.
This man.
Yeah.
Welcome sinners and eats with them.
How dare he?
How dare he? So Jesus, instead of responding and reacting to their criticism, which I would, our president would learn a lesson from,
yeah,
and not respond all the anyway. I'm not a Twitter. I do have a Twitter account, but I don't tweet much.
No, I got you.
But anyway, Jesus didn't respond in a negative way. He told a story. Now, if we can remember through Luke chapter 15 that this is the context, verses 1 and 2, and he's talking to these people,
mm-hmm.
and society has people like this now.
Yeah, let's pause there just a second, because there's another lesson to be learned there from how Jesus did it. He wasn't pulled, like you were talking about, wasn't pulled in to their way of thinking, or he was going to defend himself. He didn't defend himself.
No.
He caught him completely off guard and said, here we go. Let me tell you a little something.
Absolutely. God doesn't need anybody to defend him. God's big enough to defend himself. I'm a big godder. Not a little godder.
Godder.
Yeah, a big godder can do anything.
Yeah.
I believe in being a big godder preacher.
Yeah. Is that two D's?
That's two D's.
Okay.
Nothing's impossible for God. Amen. I hear preachers, if they're listening today, any of them saying, amen, brother, you're right. And that is correct.
Yeah.
So he's talking to sinners, he's talking to tax gatherers, and he's talking, I started using the IRS there a minute ago, but I didn't want to,
completely under the bus.
Absolutely. So he tells a story, but he's talking to these groups of people.
Yeah.
And so he talks about the coin. He talks about the sheep first, how the shepherd had 100, he lost one, he went after, came mm-hmm. back rejoicing. And Jesus then makes the point in verse 7, I tell you, after talking about him finding the sheep, mm-hmm. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing, or as we like to call it at Highland, party time, mm-hmm. more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous or so-called righteous who needs no repentance, or they think they don't need repentance. He's talking directly to the Pharisees here. Righteous, so-called righteous, who think they don't need to repent.
Yeah.
So the sheep is first, the coin is next. Each time there's rejoicing in heaven.
Yeah.
And then we get into the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I was asked is, how do you know a Pharisee? Here's the simplest way. If I, Timotheus, hold a conviction, and I hold it dear to my heart,
mm-hmm.
but I make you submit to it, then I take my convictions and make them your responsibility.
Yeah.
That's Pharisaical.
Yeah. That would be like me. I am a totally no alcohol kind of guy.
Amen, brother. May your tribe increase.
Don't want it around me. If I could get by without shopping where it is. I mean, it doesn't bother me that it's in a store. But
yeah.
I don't want it in my house. But if I walk in somebody else's and they have a bottle of wine, and that's up to them.
That is up to them.
That's their thing. That's my conviction that
absolutely.
I feel that way about alcohol.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Absolutely.
I guess that's what we're talking about,
that's
right?
That's what we're talking about.
There we go.
Yeah. We all have convictions, but someone said, well, you're against alcohol, then you shouldn't shop any place that have it. Let me tell you something. Everywhere you go, you find it. You can't get out.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul one time said, I wrote to you not to keep company with fornicators.
Yeah.
Talking to the church. But he said, I didn't mean the fornicators of this world, or fornicators of this world, because if I withdrew myself from the fornicators of this world, I'd have to leave the world.
Yeah.
So if we withdrew ourselves from everything that is sinful, everything that is not a good representation of Christianity, we'd have to leave the world.
Yeah.
We have to live in this world, but we're not of this world.
And it goes back to the story here that Jesus was with tax collectors. He was with sinners.
Yeah.
But he responded and acted in a whole different way.
He did. He did. He acted like Christians ought to act.
Yeah, like we're walking down beside the beer aisle.
Yeah.
You know, like we should be.
Yeah.
Or somebody that may be picking a case of beer up.
Yeah.
You know, instead of looking down on their nose, maybe we ought to act a little differently.
I think so. I've told the story before about going into a place, Supermaker, a place like that, and a couple of young ladies were stocking the bottom shelf, and they were talking about, oh, God, oh, God.
Yeah.
So I wheeled around, came back down, knelt down beside them, and I said, okay, I'm ready. And one of them said, ready for what? I said, I heard God's name mentioned. I thought you were ready to have a prayer meeting, and I want to be a part of it. And then I said, take care.
Yeah.
Yep. Timothy, we got a call there. We lost
it. Well, I think we lost it.
I'm sorry about that. Call back, please.
Yeah.
And while we're waiting for you to call back, it's 7890318. Christians, and here's a great description by an unknown author. He wrote this to a person named Diogenes.
Mm.
Diogenes in the second century, Timotheus. Second century.
Wow. This has been a year or two ago.
Yeah, he wrote the following. Christians are indistinguishable from other men, either by nationality, language, or customs. They do not inhabit separate cities of their own or speak a strange dialect or follow some outlandish way of life. With regard to dress, food, or manner of life in general, they follow the customs of whatever city they happen to be living in, whether it's Greek or foreign. He continues. And yet there is something extraordinary about their lives. They live in their own countries as though they were only passing through. They play their role as citizens, but labor under all the disabilities of aliens. Any country can be their homeland, but for them, their homeland, wherever it may be, is a foreign country. Like others, they marry and have children, but they do not kill them. Now that's okay. They share their meals, but not their wives.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the flesh, but they are not governed by the desires of the flesh. They pass their days upon earth, but they are citizens of heaven. Mm-hmm. Obedient to the law, yet they live on a level that transcends the law. In conclusion, he wrote, to speak in general terms, we may say that the Christian is to the world what the soul is to the body. As the soul is present in every part of the body while remaining distinct from it, so Christians are found in all the cities of the world, but cannot be identified with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good?
That is good.
I want to be associated with those kind of people.
Yeah.
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 So the
second century.
Yeah. Pharisees, they said, you got to believe what we believe. You got to do what we say, or you can't be one of us. And this is why they disliked Jesus. They hated Jesus so much.
Because he wasn't like them.
No, but he didn't fight with them. He didn't quarrel with them. He just told stories. I love that.
There we go. Now we've got a call.
Let's go to the phone.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Okay, now take my call this time.
Let me tell you something. Now that we know who you are, we're going to hang up on you.
Well, let me tell you something. He don't have control of the phone. I do, so don't worry about it.
Okay, Jim. When you first come on this morning, that's what was on my mind about coming out in the world.
Really?
And, yes. And it was so strange how you started talking about it. And we sang on Thursday, so I hardly ever get to listen to the program. But I got to listen today because we're having some things to do with the nursing home this week, so we didn't get to go today. But anyway, yes, I agree with you on everything that you said there. You know, what's in another person's home ain't nothing you can do about it.
Absolutely.
What's in your home.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling back and sharing that.
Yeah, and would you mind if I told you that we're starting a week's meeting at our church Sunday night?
No, go ahead.
Well, it's Jimmy Van Hoos and his son Brad. They're starting a week's meeting at Sulphur Springs Union Baptist Church or at Tomahawk.
Yeah.
And you know where it's at.
Yeah,
I would love to invite all Johnson Counties and people from everywhere to come.
Bless your heart.
And what time does it start, sister?
7 o'clock. Our church is starting to grow, and we're just praising the Lord for it.
Amen.
It's time people get in.
There you go.
Amen. God bless you for that. And again, thanks for redoubling your efforts, even though Timotheus wouldn't take your call earlier. We'll see you now.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Do we have another call there, Timotheus?
No.
That's an in-house call. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Pharisees, tax collectors, scribes, sinners, I mean the whole bunch. And Jesus is telling some stories about what God is like and what goes on in heaven. You know who God rejoices over? When a prostitute turns to Christ, when a drunk turns to Christ, when a dope addict turns to Christ. when a thief turns to Christ. Even those who think they're righteous and want to bind it on others when they really turn to Christ. Arthur Burns was the chairman of the Federal Reserve, to mow this, back in the 70s, back in the Carter administration. And Arthur Burns was a good man. He was a Jew. Well, during the Carter administration and maybe other administrations as well, they had prayer services at the White House. And so some of the staff and senators and congressmen would gather at noon and have a few minutes of prayer. Arthur Burns dropped in one day. And they would take turns calling on each other to pray. Well, everybody who was there knew they wasn't going to call on Arthur Burns. He's a Jew. Mm-hmm. Doesn't believe in Christ mm-hmm. as the Savior, the Redeemer of the world. And so a new brother was there who didn't know Arthur Burns was a Jew. And he got to close the meeting out, and he called on Brother Burns to dismiss them.
Everybody else thinking, uh-oh.
Yeah, Arthur Burns simply prayed, "Dear Father, I pray that all Jews will believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that all Muslims will believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And I pray that all Christians would believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world." Listen, friends, God has not appointed you as judge and jury. God has appointed you to testify as a witness of what God has done in your life, not to judge your brother, not to hand down ecclesiastical decrees. And Timotheus and listeners, there are churches all over the place that do that. I'll tell you what. Hello, my name is Jerry, and I'm a recovering legalist. And every legalist that's listening to me today needs to do the same thing. You need to repent of it. For the last 35 years, we have done our best to change our image and to change, but first and foremost, our own heart when it comes to the way we view spiritual things. And I don't want to be a Pharisee, but if I come to you, Timotheus, and I say, this is what you must believe, or you can't be a part of our fellowship, I have become a legalist and a Pharisee, sure as the world.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in our church at Highland who hold a wide and varied view on many subjects, and yet they still choose to come and visit with us, even though we may not hold those views.
Yep.
And we try to treat them just like we would treat our nearest and dearest. And we do treat them that way. So we would encourage everybody to be on the lookout for legalists and Pharisees and avoid them, because they will pervert you every way they can if they get a chance. Now, that was the first question. How will I recognize one? Let's recap.
Mm-hmm.
When someone tells you, this is what I believe and this is what you must believe, they're binding their convictions, making it your responsibility. That's a legalist. Stay away from them. The Bible, over and over, we don't have time to go into all the verses, but there are many verses in the Bible. Read the book of Galatians. It's all about legalism. Stay away from it. And the second question I was asked, I never thought about the mother before tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the mother? There's no mention of a mother in Luke 15.
Nope.
Why, Timotheus? Why do you think?
I don't know.
Has she run off with the milkman?
I don't think she's run off with the milkman.
Yeah.
I think the relationship between the dad being God and the son being us children on earth.
Amen.
Is the reason that the mother is not mentioned.
I agree wholeheartedly. There's no greater love known to mankind on this earth than the love of a mother.
Amen.
The poet wrote years ago, "If I were drowned in the deepest sea, whose love would come down to me? Oh, mother of mine. Oh, mother of mine. If I was hanged on the highest hill, whose love would come up to me still? Oh, mother of mine. Oh, mother of mine." But in the story of the prodigal son, there is no mother. God is saying, my love is greater than the love of a mother. That's why she's conspicuously absent. The father, as you just stated, represents God. And those two boys represent all of humanity. That older brother, you know, got mad.
Oh, yes.
And there are a lot of Christians walking around today who are mad. And let me ask you to repent. We don't know what happened to him in the story, do we?
No. He never did say.
Yeah.
He went outside. The father went and tried to talk to him, get him to come in.
Yeah.
That's all we know.
Yeah. I was preaching that years ago. I mentioned this last night. at a church, and I put my hand over my eyes, and I said, I think the Father was out on the porch walking back and forth looking for that boy. And dear sister there said, I never read that in the Bible. Well, you do read in the Bible that he ran to him, and he had to be looking for him to run to him.
Now, if I may add to the story here a little bit.
Please do.
If someone is listening out there and they say, well, on one hand, you tell me that you must believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of the world, and that's the only way you could get to heaven.
Yeah.
Aren't you being legalistic? There is things that Christian people should know that the Bible plainly tells us that you must believe. Because
yes.
Jesus said he was the way,
he
was the truth, and he was the life.
Absolutely.
So there is things, and we don't mean to confuse certain people that may not have the knowledge of the Bible, maybe have never read a Bible, even looked at a Bible.
Sure, sure.
So there is things that you must believe according
Absolutely.
To Scripture.
Absolutely.
So we're not being legalistic about those things.
No, we're not.
But it's other things.
Yeah.
And if your interest is piqued, I would advise you to find a Bible. If you don't have one, you call the church, we'll get you one.
We'll get you a Bible.
And we'll help you.
Amen.
To understand, because we don't want to be confusing to you.
No, we do not.
Satan is the author of confusion.
He is.
And Pharisees and all this legalism stuff can add a lot of confusion.
It can.
And that's what we're trying to clear up. So there is certain things that you must believe, and Christians everywhere, doesn't matter about the denomination, should agree on those things. And that's why we keep saying, is if you believe these things, you're our brother and our sister.
Amen. Amen. Even if you believe those things, but some of them became more of a reality after you obeyed Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were baptized 20 years ago, but just in the last year you've learned things about baptism that the Bible taught, or about repentance that the Bible teaches, or that does not negate your conversion experience. It does not remove the validity of your conversion. It just means you're growing.
Yeah.
You're learning more things.
Yeah.
And so it's the Christian. Let me say it this way. First of all, let me agree with you, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. And secondly, I would say that Christianity is both inclusive and exclusive.
Amen.
Christianity is the most inclusive religion I know anything about. It doesn't matter whether you're a Pharisee, a scribe, whether you're a sinner or a tax collector, a good old boy out here who sits on his porch and waves at people that go by. There's not a one of us that haven't thought about dying.
Amen.
Everybody's going to die. And you may occupy yourself to the point during the day that you don't focus on it much, but you are going to have to face it. And when you lay down at night and pillow your head, it's bound to come to your mind. We got to call Timotheus.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick and see if we get this. Good morning. Welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just like to thank you all. You all do a great job on here.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
And I surely wish that you all could do it every day.
You know, we've said now for years
we
need more time. So write a letter to the station and tell them that.
Hey, I sure will. And I just wanted to get in there before y'all shut down.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much.
God bless you all.
Thank you now. Bye-bye. Did you pay him to move this to make
No, I did not. But that what a wonderful and humbling message.
Yeah, I'm humbled by it, encouraged by it.
Encouraged and humbled.
Want to preach on, but I don't have more. I don't have the time to mow this.
We got about a minute left.
Well, let's talk about Little Light Academy. You know, we're taking applications now for the late summer, fall registering for attendance at Little Light Academy. And I don't want to make no promises, and I'm not saying anything in saying this, but we're really working hard.
Yes.
And hope to have something good to tell you in the near future about kindergarten.
Yeah.
We had our graduation, and what a time.
It was
great. And did we talk about the National Day of Prayer at Highland last week?
I don't know that we did.
We had some 35 people to show up, and we had some 8 to 10 different congregations. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it again next year, Lord willing.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And we'd like to invite you, if you haven't been to Highland Church, we'd love to invite you to services. Sunday school gets underway 9:30 a.m. for Sunday morning. Sunday morning worship is at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. It's our life groups. And then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., we have prayer service again at the church. And Sunday morning at 7 a.m., it's Looking to Jesus right here at WSIP. Thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.